Good evening, good evening, good evening, Deliverance Temple Ministries. This is Minister Regina. We are live here in our DT Live Facebook group for our Wednesday night Bible study. I have a little different setup tonight. I am praying and hoping that my sound is okay. I know we've been having some challenges with our sound, but prayerfully, we have those things under control tonight. Good evening, ladies. Hello, Sister Beth. Hello, Dr. Elisa. Hello, Pastor Carol. We are going to do a little bit more review tonight on the fruit of the Spirit. But before that, I want to make just a quick announcement, just in case someone hasn't heard. We will be entering, going back to the physical campus this coming Sunday, July the 5th, for our Sunday services. I know a lot of you are very excited about that. I know a lot of us are excited to see one another physically. You know, we've been doing this about 14, 15 weeks now. And so I know that we all are anxious to see one another in person. And so good evening, Pat. Good evening, Sister Brenda. Good evening. Before I continue, can you all hear me okay? Can you just say yes? I know there's a little time delay, so I'll take a second to wait to see if you all answer. But I want to make sure that you all hear me tonight. I was having some sound issues previously, and I want to make sure that you all can hear me. We will be back at the physical campus beginning on Sunday with Transformation Hour with Pastor Mark at 9 a.m. I know that he is intending to broadcast live there. And awesome. Thank you so much, Sister Brenda. Thank you so much. Okay. So for those of you who have been following Pastor Mark's class on Sunday mornings, he is planning on continuing to broadcast Transformation Hour. So, but for those of us who are here in Springfield, we will be able to be physically in that class beginning on. Also going to go back to our regular scheduled time for the morning service. As you know, in the last few weeks, we've been going at 11 on the telephone conference line, but we are going to be back at 10:30. Beginning on Sunday at the physical campus. And so I thought maybe I might want to highlight that as well. And just a couple of other announcements about that. All classes and services will be held in the main sanctuary at this time. So don't meet us over in the fellowship hall. Meet us in the sanctuary for Transformation Hour and for Bible study. Now, Bible study will continue in the physical campus next Wednesday, July the 8th. At 6 p.m. and meet us in the sanctuary, okay? So that's all for that. Hello, hello, hello. Okay, so last week we continued our review of the introduction of the series of Fruit of the Spirit. This is the series that I'm teaching on Wednesday nights. And before we went into shutdown, you know, I don't think any of us really expected us to be out so long. And so I surely did not. I wasn't expecting it to be this long, but praise God anyway. We're going to pick up on that next week. And so I wanted to use these last few weeks to kind of review so that once we all get back together physically, we can go right from where we left off. Okay. So last week we, continued in the review of our introduction, discussing how fruit must be given the proper environment and conditions to grow. We learned what we must do to submit to God. We talked about where the fruit comes from and where the fruit does not come from. Hello, Deacon Barry. God bless you tonight. And we also discussed how we can be controlled by Holy Spirit, okay? And this week, so we're going to be reviewing those first three fruit that are listed there in Galatians chapter 5. Remember, our base verses for this series are found in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Verses 16 through 26. We won't read all of those for the sake of time, but usually I do. because I feel that it's important to anchor those things, okay? Usually I do, but for the sake of time, these last few weeks I haven't. Prayerfully, you're going back and rereading these verses on your own. But tonight we're going to pick up in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, okay? And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Those are the three we're going to cover tonight. And I'm telling you guys, it's going to go quick. Okay, it's going to go quick because there's so much in those 3 weeks. Because those were three separate weeks and I'm cramming them all into one, okay? But here we go. Peace is going to take, love is going to take the longest, okay? So, here's some things that I want to point out to us tonight. Number one, you recognize a tree by its fruit. You recognize a tree by its fruit. I want this point to go so deep down in you on a cellular level, on a molecular level. I want it to just go down deep in the soil of your heart, okay? Because this is so crucial to the life of the believer. You recognize a tree by its fruit. So let me ask you, have you ever seen a fruit tree in real life? Like, in real life, have you ever seen a fruit tree? A peach, apple, lemon, orange, whatever. Have you ever seen a fruit tree in real life? And if so, I want you to remember in the back of your mind what kind of tree it was, okay? And then I want you to think or consider, how did you know it was that type of tree versus some other kind of tree? So you're looking at the tree, right? You remember looking at the tree. And what about that tree made you think, oh, that's an apple tree, or oh, that's a grapefruit tree versus any other type of other tree? I want you to have that thought in your mind, okay? And I want to ask, is it fair to say that when you saw the apples or the pears or the oranges or the lemons, you recognized the type of tree it was by the fruit that was on the tree? Would you say that's fair to say? Let's go to Luke 6 and let's see what Jesus has to say about it, okay? Luke 6, verses 43 through 45. This is what Jesus says. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, right? For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what Jesus had to say about recognizing a tree by its fruit. Are we talking about literal fruit and literal trees? Obviously not. We're talking about people. Because he tells us, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of his heart brings forth that which is evil. Okay? So, when you see a tree without fruit, right? The average person may not know what kind of tree it is because all they see, right? Because all of the trees look alike to us, right? Unless you're some type of arborist or agriculturist or you have orchards or something. Typically, the average person does not know one tree from the other if fruit is not present, okay? So, even though in my research, I found out that the leaves on some of the trees kind of give clues to what even for years. But like I said, for the average person, the average civilian, we don't know that because all trees have bark and green leaves, right? So they all look alike to us. Okay. So here's a little demonstration for us. Okay. Here is one tree. Hopefully you can see that pretty clearly. There's no fruit on that tree, right? There's no fruit on that tree. So we don't know what kind of tree that is. But once the fruit appears, same type of tree, it's an apple tree. This is an apple tree without apples on them yet. This is an apple tree once the fruit appears. Okay? I'm doing all this for a reason. Here's another example of a tree with no fruit on it. Just looks like a regular green tree that you see on the side of the road, right? but it's a lemon tree. Okay, this is the tree without the lemons, before the lemons start budding. This is the lemon tree after. Right? So when you see this driving down the road, you're not going to say, oh, there's an apple tree, because you know those are lemons. You know those are lemons. Okay. A lemon is not coming from a kiwi seed, and an apple is not coming from a watermelon seed. I hope that we are driving this point, okay? Because it's so important. Because as a believer, if we are a part of the tree of God, come on, somebody. Our fruit should look like his. Our fruit should look like his. People should recognize our fruit as coming from his tree. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? As people look at us, right? The fruit that we are demonstrating, the fruit that's hanging off of us, the fruit that's coming out of our mouths, right? The fruit that's coming forth from our lives should be resemble the fruit of God. I hope this is making sense to somebody. I hope this is making sense. John 13, 35, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Okay? So tonight, the first fruit we're going to be talking about. Hello, good evening, Sister Susie. God bless you, sis. The first three of these nine characteristics we're going to talk about tonight, beginning with love, okay? And it may seem obvious why love would be listed first, but we're going to still drive it home, okay? So, I have personally shared many, many times in Bible study how Holy Spirit revealed to me that everything that we do must flow and be based on love in order to last. And we're going to dig into that just a minute. But the second point we're talking about tonight is, okay, is love is a decision, not an emotion or feeling. Love is a decision, not an emotion or a feeling. We're talking about love as fruit of the Spirit tonight, guys. So in Psalm 91, the writer says, God set his love upon me. That's in Psalm 91. It's not that God does not feel, right? Because I certainly believe that he does. I believe that God feels. Even though it says God is a spirit, I believe God feels. I believe that he expresses emotion, right? But his love for us is not based on feelings. His love for us is not based on feelings. Knowing just how bad we would mess up, he still decided to love us. Knowing that some would reject him, he still decided to bless us anyway, way before. He said, before, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who does that? Who does that? It's because he set his love. He decided to love us from the foundation of the world, before any of us were born. He decided, oh, I'm going to love Beth. Oh, I'm going to love Carol. Oh, I'm going to love Elisa. Oh, I'm going to love Barry. Oh, I'm going to love Susie. Before we had any even awareness of who he was, he decided, he put his love upon us. I don't know about nobody else, but that makes me happy tonight. That brings me joy. That gives me all kinds of life to know that God set his love on me. On me. On little me. I am so glad about it. I'm so glad about it. His love for us is not based on our goodness, but his faithfulness. His faithfulness. That's what his love is based on. It's not based on emotion. It's not based on feelings. Because feelings can be very fickle. Feelings can be very fickle. So, point number three. Without love, we are not accomplishing anything. Nothing. And that should make remember 1 Corinthians 13, okay? Amen, sis. Amen. Amen. We have his DNA, absolutely. Praise God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I want you guys to read this in the Message Bible. I'm going to read these verses in the Message Bible. It is 1 Corinthians 13 in the King James is nice. But the Message Bible just brings it all the way home. And let me read it for you, okay? If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. We're reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Message Bible. Verse 7, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first, me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Verse 8, love never dies. Its inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We only know a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, when Jesus arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. So, in the light of 1 Corinthians 13, is it surprising that love would be listed as the first fruit? I don't think so. Because regardless of how well I articulate the things of God, or how powerful or how anointed I appear to be, or the sacrifices that I appear to make, if I do not have the love of God operating in my life, none of it matters. None of it matters. None of it matters. So, I love this Message Bible version of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, speaking of love, it says, it never gives up. It puts up with anything and trusts God always. Is it me, or does it seem like some of this is impossible? Right? When I think about just putting up with anything or never giving up, like there have been a time in all of our lives when we have given up. We have said, just forget it. I'm walking away. It's done. It's over. I'm out. Right? So in our humanness, it is impossible. What did the angel tell Mary? With man, it seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So because our flesh will be forever at enmity with the Spirit of God, and our flesh, right, it's not trying to just put up with anything. Our flesh loves to strut. Our flesh is always thinking me first. Sometimes our flesh does keep score and won't let things go, right? So it's complete opposite. That's why we must rely on the Spirit of God to do this work in us, guys. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is just that. It's His fruit. It's His livelihood. It's His characteristics in us. All we can do is yield. All we can do is say, okay, God, have your way. Because in myself, I'm doing all the stuff 1 Corinthians 13 told you not to do in myself. That's why it's important. It's important. It's crucial. It's vital that the Holy Spirit has the reins in your life. It's absolutely vital. It's crucial. So let's go on. Let's hurry on. Point number 4 of love is the foundation of our walk in Christ. Hello, Brother Larry. God bless you. Love is the foundation of our walk in Christ. Everything in our lives that lasts, right, is built on love. The love that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. Number 5, as we yield to the inner working of Holy Spirit, we will exhibit the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Hello, Sister Amanda. Remember, Jesus told us no man can serve two masters. We talked about this the other week. You're either going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't have it both ways. Okay, so as the Holy Spirit is working in our life, His characteristics are going to shine through. Okay, as we yield to Him. that the more we yield, the more we practice yielding, the more we submit ourselves, the less likely we are, we read that the first week of review, that we are going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God for that. Okay? So, number six, yield to Holy Spirit's work in our lives so our growth is not hindered. Yield to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives so that our growth is not hindered. Let's look at Matthew 21 really quick. We're going to talk about this fig tree. We all know the story of the fig tree, okay? Matthew 21, 18 through 20 is where that story is found. And since we probably all know that story, let me just say really quickly. Jesus was hungry. He was going from one town to the next. On the road to the next town, they come across this fig tree. He see leaves on the fig tree, right? Now, he knew that it wasn't the season for figs. This is important right here. It was not fig season, but the fig tree had leaves on it. And on a fig tree, if leaves are there, they're supposed to be fruit. Okay? Did you catch that? On a fig tree, if there are leaves present, that means there should be figs on the fruit on the tree, even though it's not fig season. Right? It had leaves on it. So Jesus comes up to the tree. There are no figs. And you remember the story. He cursed it. And he said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth and forever. Okay? And the next day, as they were coming back, they go back the opposite way to the tree, and it had dried up. And the disciples were amazed that it had died. His master went. So let me ask you, why was Jesus so upset with the fig tree? It wasn't fig season, right? It wasn't fig season. Here's why. Although it wasn't fig season, the tree had had leaves on it, right? So there should have been fruit. There was supposed to be fruit. The tree was indicating that there was fruit there. Oh my God. So if fruit is supposed to be on the tree when leaves are present, but there was no fruit, the tree was perpetrating, y'all. The tree was perpetrating. The tree was an imposter. The tree was being deceitful. OMG. From afar off, it looked like the tree had it all together. Oh my God, y'all. But upon closer inspection, there was no fruit. There was no fruit. We're talking tonight about the fruit of the Spirit. The first point was a tree is known, is recognized by its fruit. Here is this fig tree. It's supposed to have figs on it. If there are leaves present, it didn't have any fruit on it. So Jesus cursed it because it should have had fruit there. And Jesus didn't want it deceiving anyone else. Oh my God. Are we talking about literal trees and literal fruit? You know, we're not. We're talking about people. Because like I said at the top, if we are of the tree of God, we should be exhibiting his fruit. People should be able to look at us and see God. I hope we understand that. This thing is not a fairy tale. This is not a fable. This is not make-believe. This is real life, guys. This is more real life than the stuff that we are seeing in this physical realm. If people cannot look at us and recognize God and see God, we have some leaves, but no fruit, and we are in danger. Oh, Lord, I hope we are getting it tonight. I hope we're getting it tonight. Let's move on. So, while Jesus saw that fig tree with the leaves and no fruit and cursed it, with us, he's merciful. He's so merciful with us, guys. Let me show you how merciful, because he gives us all things that pertains to life and godliness, including all the necessary opportunities to yield to his pruning. Luke 13, this is such a very interesting verse to me. Luke 13, this is the Living Bible. Jesus says, then he used this illustration. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if he could find any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he told his gardener to cut it down. I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Uh-oh, another fig tree. I just realized that. We're talking about another fig tree. Uh-oh. The gardener said, why bother any longer? It's taking up space that we can use for something else. Give it one more chance, the gardener answered. Leave it one more year and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, I'll cut it down. If not, I'll come. So the question is, now that time, but there are most times, I would say, that he's given us chance after 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 chance to get it together. Praise God. So the question is, will we recognize when God is tending to our tree and allow the process, right, so that our growth is no longer hindered? That's the rub. Will we allow him to prune us? Will we allow him to dig around our base? Will we allow him to put the fertilizer in there? Will we allow him to mulch us? Will we allow for those things? Will we allow him to water us so that we can produce? Oh my God, I hope this is helping somebody tonight. It's surely helping me. So some of the things we're griping and complaining about just may be instruments that God is using to help prune us. I don't have time to deal with all of this. Those difficult relationships at work, those uncomfortable conversations you may need to have with some family members, there may be learning opportunities in the midst of the trouble. There's definitely some things in our lives that God will allow so that we can be pruned, so that we can be purged. Come on, somebody. Okay, so next point. We demonstrate our love to God through our obedience. Hello, Brother Jim. God bless you tonight. We demonstrate our love to God through our obedience. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit tonight, Galatians chapter 5. We're talking on that first one so far. We're doing a review on love, joy, and peace. Okay? John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 21, Jesus says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In verse 23, John 14, Jesus answered and said to them, if a man loves me, he keeps my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Chapter 15, verse 10, if you love me, keep my commandments. You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So how do we honor the Lord? Simply through our obedience. Our obedience. It's our obedience. Now, I argue, if you are familiar with that book, God, the five love languages, I would argue that obedience is God's love language. Obedience is God's love language. So if Holy Spirit is working on our hearts and minds, and we are walking after the Spirit and not our flesh, not letting our flesh be the boss, right? Guess what? Holy Spirit is going to work in, he's going to work in us so that we reflect love through how? Through our obedience. He's going to work in our hearts so that we understand that we need to be obedient. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to work in us. Again, it doesn't matter what the command is. And I always stress this. I always stress this because no matter how big you think it is or how small you think it is, that's not the point. The point is that we obey. Okay? The point is that we obey no matter how big we think it is, no matter how small we think it is. Okay? If we are obedient, we are expressing love to the Lord. Okay? So now let's talk about joy for a minute. That was all love. Okay, that was all love. So now we're gonna move into joy. Now some people mix up joy with happiness. We're reviewing love, joy, and peace in Galatians chapter 5 of the fruit of the Spirit. Some people mix up joy and happiness. Okay. Joy is delight from a source, and happiness is delight over a particular thing, okay? Two totally different things. Happiness can be influenced by the winds of circumstance. For example, you might hear someone say, I was really happy when I got that extra $100 last week. Versus, I was not happy when I had an extra $100 expense last week. Right? It all is based on the circumstance they found themselves in. Okay, do you see the difference? So the first point I want to point out, I wanted to make sure that we understood that there's a difference between happiness and joy. Okay, so moving on into joy, the first point is the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This is what we covered in the Bible study, okay? That week we covered on joy. And we spent a lot of time in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. But I'm only going to read verses 9 and 10 for the sake of time, okay? And this is out of the Amplified, okay? But if you have some time, please, please, please go back and read the entire chapter, because I believe God is really speaking to us about this deliverance temple. And the reason I know that is because Pastor Mark has been on Nehemiah. he's been on Nehemiah, and we covered this in Bible study, okay? So he's been on this in Transformation Hour. And so I believe that the Lord is speaking to Deliverance Temple about in Nehemiah. So go back and read this, okay? So Nehemiah 8, verse 9 and 10. This is the Amplified. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then Ezra said to them, go your way. Eat the rich festival food, drink the sweet drink, and send portions to whom for nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be worried. For the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. Okay, so the joy of the Lord is our strength. Remember we said joy comes from a source. Okay, it comes from a source. It's not in us. It comes from another source. And that source is the Lord. That was the first point. Second point, joy is sourced in God, and we can enjoy it regardless of the circumstances we are facing. I really, really, really want us to get this. I really want us to get this. Even though things in our life may not be ideal, although things in our life may be challenging, although things in our life may seem like they are turned upside down, we can access the joy of God through the Holy Spirit, because joy is not based on our circumstances. I hope we get this tonight. Please, Holy Spirit, help me to communicate this feeling. Our circumstances have no power to dictate to us our joy, because our joy comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Unlike happiness, which is dependent on circumstances, our joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Amen. Amen. So no matter what is going on in our outside circumstances, we can still have access to joy. Praise God. Praise God. So, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, these verses always made me feel some kind of way until the Lord helped me to understand what was going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, Apostle Paul says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Apostle Paul said, most gladly. What? What in the world can you find gladness? How in the world can you find gladness in infirmity and in distress and in persecution and necessity? But the Apostle Paul, the Lord helped me to realize that it was in those things that he found his strength. It was in those, in the midst of those things, that he understood that he had access to real strength, to real power. OMG. OMG. So even in my weakest point, I'm still strong because why? I have now tapped into the real source of strength. I have now tapped into the real source of joy. Oh my God. So yes, in need, yes, in necessity, yes, in distress, yes, in persecution, I can still have joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you tonight, God. Thank you tonight. Even in the midst of the craziness, even in the midst of people trying to dig ditches for you to fall in, even in the midst of pain, hallelujah, financial crisis, health crisis, whatever it is in our external circumstances, our physical circumstances, we can still have access to joy. Hallelujah, the real source of joy. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Right? Joy is not based on our natural emotions or feelings. We experience joy based on the decision not to be swept away with our natural emotions. Because our feelings, like I said a moment ago, our feelings and emotions can be fickle. And I know I have some witnesses out there. I'm going to raise my own hand. Our emotions can be fickle. Many of us, maybe not you, but maybe someone you know. Maybe someone you know. One minute you're fine. One minute you're great. One minute you're laughing and smiling or whatever. And an hour later, something can happen. You can get a phone call. You can get a text. You can get a letter in the mail. You can get an email. And your whole emotional state has been turned upside down. Huh. Because our emotions can be. Our feelings can be fickle, right? But joy can be a constant in our lives. Joy can be a constant in our lives if we can just stay in, right? If we can just lock in and stay in, right? In that space where we understand the source of our joy, and the source of that joy is our God. And that joy can inform our posture and our countenance. Because even though I'm going through, and even though people who know what you're going through would understand if you would just not look happy and you just look pitiful or whatever, you have every right to look all of that. But you are allowing the fruit of the Spirit called joy to be exhibited through you. So it's going to inform your posture. It's going to inform your countenance. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard people say, I didn't even know she was going through nothing. She was always smiling. I never even knew she was going through anything. That's because they have tapped in, hallelujah, to something greater than themselves. What did God say? Even though you go through the fire, you won't be burned. You're going to come out of this thing. You won't even smell like smoke. That we have tapped into a strength greater than our own. Hallelujah. We're not leaning into our own understanding. We're not leaning on our own strength. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it is going to be His joy that's going to break this yoke in my life. It's going to be His joy. And back in the Nehemiah scripture, it says, the joy of the Lord and the joy of the Lord is going to break this yoke in my life. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord, I'm not strong in myself. I don't know how many. I don't care how many deadlifts. I don't care how many weighted squats. I don't care how many chest presses I do, my strength is nothing compared to the strength of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength and my stronghold. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on. So to practice joy, we can keep our eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. We must intentionally practice keeping our eyes on the Lord in our circumstances. We must live one day at a time, right? And not get caught up in fret or fear over the future. I know that's a tough one. For me, that's a tough one because I'm a planner. I'm always thinking ahead. I'm always looking ahead, right? And I have to reel myself in sometimes. I have to reel myself in. Live one day at a time and do not allow yourself to get over into fear and fret over the future, right? And the next thing is to be grateful for the blessings that we have in our lives. These things will help us to practice joy. Keep your eyes on the Lord and not your circumstances. Live one day at a time and be grateful for the blessings that you have in your life. We maintain our joy, point number four, by yielding to the Holy Spirit. And this is a thing. We yield to the Holy Spirit and not to our flesh. Praise God. Praise God. Now, finally, the end part of this review, okay, is peace. Peace. Peace was the final point that we talked about in Bible study before the shutdown. Okay. And I know that it was not a coincidence. It was not a coincidence that peace was the last thing we covered in Bible study before the shutdown. It was not a coincidence. It was a Holy Ghost setup and we didn't even realize it. So let's hit some points about peace. Number one, peace is defined as safety, welfare, health, prosperity, favor, and rest. If that don't bring you joy, if that doesn't help, if that doesn't just lift everything, if that doesn't just lift the burden off your shoulder, just the definition of peace. I'm going to read it for you again. Safety, welfare, health, prosperity, favor, and rest. That's what peace is. That's what peace is. Oh my God. That's what peace is. Number two, we choose peace as we allow the mind of Christ to be in us and as we choose to keep our minds stayed on the Lord. Again, not giving in to fear and to fret is the fastest way to separate from joy and from peace. It is something we must discipline ourselves in. We got to discipline ourselves in. When we are tempted to say all kinds of things about how we're feeling, right? When we are tired of the challenges and the difficulties in our lives, when everything and everyone is working on our last nerve, my mom would say it, my last good nerve. Those are the times, those are the greatest times that we have to practice. We have to challenge ourselves and discipline ourselves to keep our minds on the Lord. Keep our minds stayed on the Lord. And how do we do that? Number one is going to always be meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Word. What Word? The Word of God. Not the Word of the newspaper. Not the Word of the Facebook University. You know. The social media experts, not that word, not the word of your favorite guru, but the Word of God. Hallelujah. Meditate on the Word. Number two, how do we keep our minds stayed on the Lord? Put some worship music on. The type of music that puts the attention on Him and away from our circumstances, right? This is where I would say to listen to songs that proclaim how great God is, how faithful God is, the victory that God gives to us, those type of things, versus the songs that keep our circumstances at the center of our attention. That's really not going to help you. That's really not going to help you. We have to shift ourselves away from that by meditating on how good God is, how great God is, how big He is. Come on, somebody, how powerful He is. Right? So number one, how do we keep our mind stayed on the Lord? Number one, meditate on the Word. Number two, listen to some worship music. Just get yourself right there in the atmosphere of worship. And this third one, I do this often myself, is pray for someone else. Pray for someone else. I find that if I am tempted to just be overcome with despair or depression or sadness about whatever I'm going through, if I know of someone who is going through a similar situation or struggle, I pray for them. I pray for them. This is a tip. This is a tip for somebody. This is what I practice. If I know this, if I'm having a financial issue and I know someone else is having a financial issue, I pray for them. And you will be amazed how fast you are shifted in your own mind. You're going to be fast. It happens so quick. It happens so quick that you get your mind off yourself when you begin to pray for someone else. That's a tip for somebody. I hope someone uses it. Now, the next point about peace. Peace leads to obedience. Right back to obedience. It's always going to lead us back to obedience. Peace leads us to obedience. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, on him the form of a servant, and was made likeness of men. Found fashion as he humbled himself, became unto death, and the death of the cross. The mind that was in Jesus led him to be obedient in everything the Father told him to do. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What did that mind cause Jesus to do? It caused him to be obedient. It caused him to humble himself. Verse 8 said, the mind of Christ will help you to humble yourself. Oh my God. I had a situation just the other day, and Pastor Mark knows about this because I told him about it. I had this situation just the other day, a couple of weeks ago. Someone came to me with some stuff that they shouldn't have been coming to me with. And in that moment when I could have pushed back, Holy Spirit said, humble yourself. Y'all. And you know, it seems like it's going on for eternity on the inside of your mind, but you're right there in the midst of it, so you really only have like seconds to react. But in that moment, I had every right to push back. I had every right to say for myself, humble yourself. Lord mercy. Humble yourself. Here in Philippians 2, it led Jesus to be obedient. Now, here about Jesus said, obedient unto death. We're obedient unto death too, because we are crucifying the deeds of the flesh. Oh, yes, we are. Whenever we humble ourselves, whenever we say, oh, I'm going to speak up for myself, and the Holy Spirit tell you to shut up and humble yourself, you have just crucified your flesh. So you are obedient even unto death. Even the death of your own way, the death of your own agenda, the death of your own motive. Oh my God. It's real in here tonight. It's real. It's real on DT Live tonight. Hallelujah. So, in Christ Jesus led him to be obedient in everything the Father told him to do. I'm rushing on. So if we let or allow this same mind to be in us, it will lead us to be obedient as well. It will lead us to be obedient as well. And that obedience will lead to peace. Because when you're obedient, when you do what you know the Lord told you to do, you're going to sleep well at night. You're going to sleep well. But if you know you out here freestyling, you out here, you know, doing your own thing, doing whatever you want to do, you openly know you being disobedient, you're really not in peace. You're really not. So, our final point about peace. Peace appears in our lives in these three ways. Peace with God, which is what we obtain at salvation. God is not mad at you. God is not dealing with you in anger or in wrath. God does not deal with his children the way he would deal with an enemy. That's what the Holy Spirit told me in 2019. God does not deal with his children the way he deals with an enemy. God is not mad at you. He's not dealing with you in wrath and anger. Okay? So God. Love God. This is God provides us to live our Christian life. How many of you know you need peace? You need peace. You need the peace of God to deal with circumstances and situations. You have to have it. And this is God's own peace that he shares with us. That's what's so powerful to me. He is sharing his very peace with us. He's like, here you go. He's sharing it with us so that we can move about in this. And peace appears in our life as peace with others. And this is the ability to keep peace in our relationships. And I'm telling you, unless you live in on an island by yourself, you are going to encounter some form of relationship. It may not be a marital relationship or a love relationship, but it's going to be some type of relationship, either with a child or with a parent or with a boss or with a customer or with a client or with a friend. Relationships are all around us. And we need the peace of God. We need his peace to help us keep the peace. I hope somebody catches that tonight. So, I cannot believe I actually did it. I was so nervous that I was not going to be able to cram 3 weeks of material into 40 minutes, but we did it. God, that concludes our review of the first 5 weeks of the series of the Fruit of the Spirit. So once we come back to the physical campus on next Wednesday night, we'll pick up right where we left off there, and we're going to be going into long suffering. Oh, man. We'll be going into long suffering. We just trust and believe that God's going to give us revelation as we go into that class. So that is it for tonight. We don't have any more on the review. I pray that something caught you, right? That you caught something. Something caught you and you caught something. I'm praying that tonight. I'm praying that you have been lifted and encouraged to keep going. Because what did he tell me on Sunday? The race is not given to the fastest, and it's not given to the strongest. It's given to the one who's going to endure to the end. Hallelujah. So we are endurers over here. We got to endure. Praise. Hallelujah. But in the strength of the Lord, praise God. We just thank and praise him for tonight. We thank and praise him for each and every one of you who came in live tonight, each and every one of you who are going to look at the replay, every one of you who are going to listen to the replay via the audio. We thank and praise God for you. Hallelujah. I don't know if there are any prayer requests tonight, but I will be happy to agree with any of you for a prayer need. On a night, we know that the Lord is present. Hallelujah. He is ever present. He is ever present. Hallelujah. To lift our burdens, to minister to our hearts. Praise God. Praise God. I have a prayer request. I want to ask all of you who are watching to pray for me. We have some decisions we got to make. We got some moves that we need to make. Praise God. And I would ask that you, if as you remember in your prayer time, if I come across your mind, Let's pray for Sister Regina. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got some things before the Lord, and we definitely want his will to be done and to have clarity as we move forward. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I don't see any. So what I will do, did BB call you? No, not yet, Pastor, not yet, not yet. And he's not talking about BB Winans, y'all. He's not talking about BB Winans. He hasn't called me yet, not yet, not yet. But I'm going to pray. We're just like 1 or 2 minutes over. Don't tell Bishop on me, y'all. Don't tell Bishop on me. It's so hard to get it all in. Praise God. But we're going to pray. We're going to thank. We thank and praise God for, again, for all of you who have come back every week during this shutdown, right? I am so amazed how God allowed us not to miss a beat. From the time we knew that the shutdown was happening, we've been right here on Facebook, Transformation Hour, Wednesday night, on the conference. We have not missed one service, not one. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Dr. Elisa, for your prayers. We haven't missed one service in all these 14, 15 weeks. That is the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank and praise God for that. We thank and praise God for that. So we're going to pray. Thank you, God. Father, in the name that is above every name, God, we thank you so much for these people. Hallelujah. And not even just our own Deliverance Temple, because there are others, God, who have joined, who come in and view, hallelujah, who are members of other flocks. So God, we thank you for all of those who continue to come in and view what the word is that you have given to us. God, we just pray for them. God, we pray for their households, God. We thank you, God, for blessing them, God, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst, hallelujah, not just a health crisis, God, but in many areas, a financial crises. Father, we know what people are saying and what people are predicting, Father God, but I just pray, God, that you speak to us each individually about our individual circumstances, our individual homes, God. Give us clarity. Hallelujah. Give us wisdom. Give us insight on what to do. Hallelujah. God, you gave Joseph a plan. Glory to God. You didn't stop the famine. Oh, okay. You didn't stop the famine, but you gave Joseph a plan as to how he could go through the famine, hallelujah, and not be harmed. You gave him a plan on how to go through the scarcity, God, without facing lack. God, you didn't stop the famine. I heard that loud and clear in my spirit, Holy Ghost. You didn't stop it, glory to God, but you gave your people a plan on how to go through it. So God, hallelujah, as different ones I'm hearing over the last few days have said certain things, glory to God, about the end of 2020 and on into 2021 and 2022. God, I would pray, God, that you would give your people a plan. Hallelujah, God. We've heard for years, months and years, God, you've been telling us to prepare. Hallelujah. You've been telling us to prepare our hearts and to prepare our minds, Lord God. God, you've been telling us, God, to get in our secret place so that we can discern your voice. Hallelujah. Because when it's time, hallelujah, to really get in and when we really need you in the middle of a crisis, is not the time to learn how to hear your voice. That's what you were saying to us, oh God. So God, I pray that we heed it, hallelujah, those warnings. God, I pray that we heed it, hallelujah, those instructions prior, God, so that we can know your voice when you are speaking to us, God, because I believe with all of my heart that you desire to give us wisdom, hallelujah, as to how to move, how to go about, hallelujah, getting through these next few months and these next couple of years, oh God, in the name of Jesus, just like you brought, hallelujah, your people through the word that you gave to your servant Joseph. God, I just hear it so loudly in my spirit. You didn't stop the famine. Woo! My God. So God, even in the midst of that understanding, I pray for your people. God, that in the nighttime, God, when you're trying to wake us up to pray and to hear your voice, God, that we would wake from our sleep, God, that we might hear your instruction, God, that the distractions, God, hallelujah, would be silenced in the name of Jesus. All this fret and all these things that are trying to tempt us, hallelujah, to be fretful and fearful, God, we rebuke them in the name that is above every name, hallelujah, God, and we turn our ears to you. We turn our hearts to you. God, we turn our spirits to you. God, for we understand and we know and we believe, hallelujah, that you have our best interest at heart. Glory to God. And that you long, hallelujah, to give us the answer. God, we are not as ones who have to beat the air. Glory to God. We know, Father, that if we just ask you, God, you taught us to ask any of those who are lack wisdom to ask. Glory to God, and you would give it to us. You would give us wisdom. God, I pray that we open ourselves to you in a greater way, that we might hear what it is that you're telling us to do. Then, God, after we've heard you speak, then that we would have the courage, glory to God, to walk out what you've said. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because you are always speaking. You're always trying to get us to hear you. But God, after we've heard you, sometimes we're afraid and sometimes we are timid. Hallelujah. Sometimes we procrastinate. Sometimes we drag our feet. But God, in this season and in this hour, hallelujah, I pray by the Spirit of God that we would move with haste. Glory to God, that we would move with speed in the name of Jesus so that we not miss this opportunity that you have before us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, as we part tonight, I pray for Sister Beth. Hallelujah. And those requests that she has before you, I thank you, God, for what you are doing in her life, God. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that she continues to hear your voice with clarity. Hallelujah. That she continues to hear your voice with precision in the name of Jesus. God, that she continues to just unfold before our very eyes, God, into the person, hallelujah, that you have ordained her to be. I thank you for her life. I thank you for her children and her grandchildren. God, I thank you for her finances. God, I thank you for her physical health and well-being. God, I thank you, God, on what you're doing in her life. God, celebrating with her on the weight loss and all of that. I thank you for what you're doing in my sister's life. God, I pray again for each person, hallelujah, that was on this live tonight. God, that you would be in their homes, God, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds. Hallelujah. God, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Glory to God. God, that the love of God, hallelujah, we would experience the love of God in a deeper way in the name of Jesus. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. I pray for our bishop, hallelujah, and first lady. God, I pray for every leader, glory to God, every minister, oh God. God, that we would have the wisdom of God, that we would have and demonstrate the love of God in Jesus' name. God, I thank every household represented, Father God, that you would bless us, hallelujah, as no other can. We can't be blessed any other way. We can't be blessed any better, hallelujah, than the way you do it. So God, we thank you. We praise you. And until next time, until we all come together again, we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay, friends. So, again, thank you all for viewing every week. Some of you have come back just about every single week for Wednesday night. Bible study, prayer time, and I am going to do my very best, okay, to keep broadcasting here on the DT Live page on Wednesday nights. I'm going to make every effort to make that happen. Actually, this whole contraption that I have working right now is part of that, you know, trying to make that happen, this new thing that I bought, this new stand that I bought. So, prayerfully, 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 we'll be able to do that. from the campus, the physical campus, on next week at 6 p.m. Again, we're going to be at the physical campus on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. beginning with Transformation Hour, the 10:30 a.m. service. Praise God. I know it's going to be a hallelujah shouting time. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So until next time, God, remember that God loves you with an everlasting love that nothing can pluck you from his hand. Hallelujah. That he is so crazy over the top in love with you. Oh my God. Oh my God. You are the apple of his eye. You are the apple of his eye. I thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Remember to keep me in your prayer if you can, okay? I love you guys. Talk to you later. Peace.